we felt some pressure at times to change who we were called to be. I got accused of being everything from being, you're too spiritual. And then on the same day from a different set of people, you're not spiritual enough. We need you to preach more Holy Spirit stuff. We faced some challenges that were mountains. We've had some victories that were true mountaintop experiences. We have grown. We have shrunk. We've had four different locations. And right now we're standing at the end of the lease of this building, not knowing if building number five is right around the corner or down the road somewhere, and we stay here for a while. Today we wrap up our sixth year, and we begin number seven. And the number seven in Hebrew stands for completion and perfection. And as we start this year of completion and perfection, I want to stand before you and say and ask this question. Which way do we go now? If you're going to be part of this church, believe me when I say this, I pray that you are going to be part of this church. But if you're going to be part of this church, what we're going to do is we're going to know God, receive from God, and we're going to do something for God. If you ever have a question about what that is, it's right there on the window. So, which direction do we go? Which way do we go? That's, the old cartoons. Which way did he go, George? Which way did he go? Which way do we go today? Well, the first thing I want to say to you, and if you're following along on the handout today, you can sure take notes. If you're following along on the YouVersion app, which if you're online today, there should be a link there for you to follow along in the YouVersion app. First is, which way do we go? Well, the first one is we go up. We go up. Now, I'm going to talk about the future today. I may not get real theological. So if you came for like this real big theological word today, you may leave here kind of wondering. But today we're talking about the future. And the first thing I want to say is we go up. And I want to say this today. With everything that we do here, and I know this gets lost sometimes because people think they know everything, but everything that we do here, policies that we place, events that we plan, things that we start, events, whatever, none of those things are more important than the root purpose of our church. We are always going up. Up where? To know God. To the presence of God. We're always going up to the presence of God. And if you ever think that I have placed a policy or a plan or something that we're doing here in front of that, you don't know me very well, and you definitely don't understand the purpose of the church. We are here to establish people in a relationship with God first. Now, you may hear us talk about business, and you may hear us talk about plans, but the thing about it is you are never going to have anything happen unless you plan it, unless you have a purpose to it, unless you put a policy in place. Listen, God's got a calling, but God doesn't make you walk it. God says, this is where I want you to go, to the promised land. How many of you know that was where he called the children of Israel to go? They're the ones that wandered around in the desert for 40 years. Do you know God did not cause them to walk around in the desert for 40 years? It was their unbelief that caused them to walk around the desert for 40 years. It was their plans to go do something else, and oh, there's no way we can do that, and oh man, there's no way we are going to be able to do that, and oh man, those people are too giant for us, and come on, they gave every excuse under the sun because they expected God to just go in there and do everything, and they'd walk into an empty space that they could just take over. We talk about plans a lot around here and what we're going to do next and what's the next event and how do we handle this, and because God's not just going to sprinkle some pixie dust, come on, and cause stuff to happen. He don't have any pixie dust anyway. So when you hear us talk about plans and talk about policies and talk about events and talk about growing the church, and listen, we're not talking about just growing the church for the sake of growing the church. You sitting in these seats, knowing God more is our number one priority. And if you're going to go to church here, people walking through that door should become your number one priority of them knowing God more. That was pretty weak. Nothing else matters if you don't know God. I have failed as a pastor if people go away from me not knowing more than they came around knowing. I'll say this, you have failed as a Christian if people that know you walk away still not knowing enough about or more about God than they did when they met you. We go up. Why? We know God and we want other people to know God. You knowing God is our number one priority. Nothing else matters if you don't. Sometimes things can get overlooked because we talk about business, serving, growing. But believe me when I say this, knowing God is our number one priority. So the first place we go is up. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Everything we do here is immediately tied to this inner value that we have. This is one of our values. Knowing God is one of our values. It's number one. And everything that we do here is tied to that. And I want you to understand that if you're going to be around here, you need to understand that if you hear us talking about something, it is to further you knowing God. It is not to replace you knowing God. And that's one of the things I've been accused of. Oh, but the number one thing should be knowing God. It is. People used to ask me, and we had staff members that would ask me, what's the one thing you want us doing? And I would say, I want you building relationships with people. That's the most important thing you could be doing. And they'd go, why didn't you say praying together? Well, because we believe in prayer. We're talking after we pray. Okay? Everything we ask, everything we do here is tied to the value of you growing in your relationship of knowing God. If we ask you to serve here, it's because we know that serving is going to help you know God better. Now, I probably lost half of you right there because you go, well, how is me serving doing, and I'm going to use quotation marks right now because I actually had people say this, crap jobs. How is that going to help me grow? You have totally just now showed me where you are, and you don't understand the principle of giving. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says that if you give, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So if you're going to give your time to the church and time to God, guess what God's going to bless you back with? More time. You're going to give of your finances, guess what God gives you more of? A finance. If you're going to give of your talent and ability to the church, come on somebody, what is God going to give back to you? You're the one that's not making room for God by not getting involved. Oh, I don't need to do that in order to, okay. Go read the book of Acts and tell me they didn't serve the church. And then they developed spiritually. All right? So we're not, you know, when we ask you to serve, it's because it's going to help you know God more. If we talk about growing the church, we're not talking about just having a big church so we can tell everybody how big our church is. And believe me, I've met people here in Orlando that can sit and tell me, we have 15,000 people at our church. We have 5,000 people at our church. We got 8,000 people at our church. And I'm like, great. Do you know God? I mean, that's great. It's a fabulous thing. But do you know God? Well, I'm saved. Great. That's the first step. Do you know anything else? Because we want you to know God. So when we talk about growing the church, it is not just so we can brag about how big our church is. We want people that are out there, and listen to me, God told us when we came here, there is a whole lot of people that have a relationship with Him that is very underused. Okay? We didn't come here And I'll be honest with you, I'm not just putting everything I have into this thing for the sake of having a big church. If I wanted to be on staff at a big church, I could have stayed put. And if it was just about that, I could still be in Tulsa serving on staff at a big church with a whole lot less stress on me because I'm not the bottom line. The buck didn't stop with me. It stopped with somebody else. So if it was just about that, I would have stayed where I would. So when I say we want to have a big church, it's because we want more people to know God. We want more people to go up. We're here to build a kingdom, the kingdom of God, and the only way to do that is by people knowing God. You know, you can't build the kingdom of God without Christians. All right? So everything else that we do, listen to me, especially if you're regular. If you're regular here, everything that we do must be looked at through the lens of knowing God first. Everything. It is never going to be replaced. It is never going to be taken as and put in secondary. It's never going to, you know, we're never going to put the experience above God. Come on now. We're never going to put, you know, programs above God. We are here first and foremost to go up. Up into the Holy of Holies. Up into the presence of God. There are other songs that say climbing up in His lap. Whatever it is you want to say. We're going up, come on, to the presence of God first. All right? Now, I just want to clarify. The only way you're going up is through a relationship with Jesus. There are no many paths to God. There's one path to God. And His name is Jesus. Period. That bust your bubble? I'm sorry. Okay? Not knowing Him about. We're not just going to know about Him. Okay? We're not just going to know Him in a robotic and a religious way. These are not just actions that we take in order to give us some false sense of righteousness. We're talking about you knowing God as a person, the person of God Himself. He knows you better than you know Him yourself, and He wants you to begin to know Him that way. All right? And that's the great part about it. So the first way, place we go is up. The next way we go, which way do we go next? We go forward. When you come to know God through relationship with Jesus, you're starting a journey to get to know Him better now. As one gets to know God, we want you to learn how to receive from God. Now, I was just back home in Kentucky this week, and I preached at their fall camp meeting, and there are a lot of people there that I've known my whole life that know God on the same level that they knew Him when I was 8 years old. When I preach about receiving from God and God doing something in their lives, they kind of just shrug their shoulders and go, well, I want Him to. And they have no idea how to receive from God when He does want to do something in their life. As one gets to know God, we want you to learn how to receive from Him. Now, some people will start an argument right there, and they'll tell you that we're getting to know God for selfish reasons. Yeah, if it's all about, you know, a lot of people hear the faith message and they go, that's just that prosperity gospel and that's just a bunch of hot air and they're just talking about stuff and things and that's not at all what I'm talking about. People say, well, you're just trying to get something from God. Like you can trick Him. You can trick God and be like, I said my confessions and fooled you. Didn't really believe it. Anyone who would think that in order to receive from God is some kind of selfish thing does not understand what God has really done for them. Plenty of people believe that if God wants to do something, He'll just do it. And you don't have to worry about it. You just, if it shows up, it shows up. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And you should just be grateful anyway. You should just walk on through your life and just whatever. You should just be grateful that he died and rose again and saved you from hell, and anything else other than that is selfishness. Now let me say this, we should be grateful, and we are, come on somebody, that God did send Jesus, and Jesus did die for our sins, come on, and he did raise again, and he does live in my heart, and he is Lord of my life. We are grateful for that. I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven, and I'm grateful for that. He cleansed us, come on, he made us new creatures. Now listen, it's okay to amen this kind of stuff, okay? He died for your sins. He cleansed you. He made you a new person. Come on, he established a relationship with you. And it's okay to say amen. It's okay to get excited about that. In fact, you should be. We are grateful for those things. Hallelujah. But he also gave us a new way of living. It's not just for heaven. He gave us a new way of living. We're not bound by the same hope the world has. We're bound by a hope that's only found in him. And in him, there is a whole lot more than just your eternal salvation in heaven. Don't get me wrong, that's the big one. That's awesome. But it's more than that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is, and you should circle this next word and draw arrows to it and make this a big giant underline in your Bible. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The word rewarder means somebody who gives a recompense for work. Well, what's our work? Our work is knowing and believing him. And the more you get to know him, you'll see that he is somebody who gives recompense. It is going to be in heaven. But it is also for our life right now. And if one doesn't know how to receive, then you have a lopsided relationship with God. If you don't know how to receive from God, then you're lopsided. Listen, you can be saved and not ever get a blessing here on earth, and you'll walk through life lopsided. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. That's not what we're saying at all. Okay? Those folks will make it to heaven. But they're missing out on what God wants to do in their life right now. This is not just limited to things and stuff. Now, things and stuff are part of it. I sit and hear testimonies all the time. People say, oh, man, the Lord blessed us. We got a deal on a new car or a new motorcycle. And that's great. Praise God. But I'm not just limited to that. Some people will call me and say, well, I got a raise at work, or I got a bonus that wasn't expected. Praise God, that's what I'm talking about too. But I'm not just talking about that. I'm not just limited to things and stuff. Come on, the Bible starts talking about peace and joy and love. Come on, he starts talking about all these other things that if you don't know how to receive them, guess how you'll live your life? Even as a born-again Christian, no peace, come on, no joy, no love. You'll just be a miserable person looking like you're drinking pickle juice all the time. But praise God, I'm going to heaven when I die. And I'm happy about it. I'm not just talking about emotional things. Come on. He talks about healing. Come on. If you don't know how to receive healing, guess what? You'll walk around sick the rest of your life. Whatever blessings God wants to heap on you and give to you, listen, if you don't know how to receive those things, you'll never have those things. And then you sit back and go, see, I told you it doesn't work. And then you'll see other people walking around with those blessings, and you'll explain it away as, well, God must have just decided to do that for them. Or you'll get mad at God and wonder why it didn't happen to you. It's because you didn't know how to receive. I've told this story before. There's a story of a young man who was going to graduate from high school, and his parents asked him what he wanted for his graduation. And this was in the 60s. And he told them he wanted some muscle car, you know. I don't even remember what kind it was. Yeah, it's something. And he put the color in there and told them what he wanted. And they were like, okay. So then the day of graduation comes, and they meet him afterwards. He throws his cap up, and, you know, he's so happy, and he goes and he hugs them. And they have their little party for him, and they give him a box, and he opens up the box, and inside the box is the Bible with his name engraved on it. And he looks at them like, is that all? Where's my car? And they didn't say anything. And he commences to cussing and carrying on and breaks off the relationship with them, throws the Bible back in their face, and walks away and never goes back home. Just completely separates himself from them forever. And then one day, they both pass. The parents pass. And so he finally goes back home to settle up the estate and clean out the house. And he's up in the attic, and he opens up that box, and there's the box that he got for his graduation. And he reaches in, and he opens it up, and there's that Bible, never been touched. And he sits down, and he takes the Bible out of the box, and as he opens the Bible, out slides the title for his car and a set of keys. And all that time, he had been given what he always wanted. But he didn't know how to receive it. He didn't know how to receive that. It had to look a certain way to him. Come on, somebody. It had to be a certain way for him. And the thing about it is that's what's wrong with people today. People are thinking that it has to be a certain way in order for God to move in my life. If God's real, it has to look like this. If God's moving, it has to be like this. If it's a real good service, then God has to be like, it has to do like this. And the thing about it is they're just taking, when they do that, they're just taking that and throwing it right back at God and saying, if it doesn't look like that, then it's not what I'm looking for. And the whole time, the blessing of God is right on the inside of it. The blessing of God was right inside the word. And they didn't know how to receive it. I think I heard Kevin Hart tell a very similar story. Kevin Hart, the comedian, he said he was out in California and he was trying to break into the business. And he asked his mom for some money because he didn't have any. Rubbing, you know, nickels together. He just didn't have it. And so she came out and saw him and was with him for the week. And she went back home and she hadn't put any money in his hands. And she said, he called her and he said, hey, you know, we talked about you giving me some money and I'm starving out here. You know? And she said, have you been reading your Bible? And he was like, no. She goes, well, why don't you read your Bible and call me back? A week or two went by, and he said, Mom, I'm starving. You need to give me some money. Wire me some. Western Union. She goes, you've been reading your Bible? He's like, Mom, I ain't got time to fool with that. I'm trying to break into the business. She goes, well, you call you read your Bible and you call me back. And another few weeks went by. Nothing. He's starving, sleeping on people's couches. And he called his mom. Mom! She said, you ain't been reading your Bible. So he said he finally got his Bible out and opened it up, and $500 slid out of the inside of it that she had put in there for him. What are you trying to say, Pastor Brent? If you don't know how to receive, you'll never know what the Word has inside of it. And the Word's got a whole lot of the answers, that every answer that you'd ever want or need or desire is right there. And you can trick yourself into thinking, oh, I can get by on my own good looks and my own, you know, my own hard work. Listen to me. If you don't know how to receive, you're going to live your life lopsided. And that's what we're trying to do here. There are plenty of ways to receive. But the big one is by faith. By faith. All right? He is somebody that gives recompense for knowing him. The last way is this. Which way are we going? We're going out. We got to do something for God. If you come to church here and you're not doing anything for God, you're missing out on what God has for you. There's a whole group of people in various states of spiritual development all around us. All you got to do is just go out into Orlando, and there are all kinds of there are people that don't have any idea about God, and there are people that grew up in church and are hurt and damaged by it. There are people that are solid Christians. There are people that have come from another religion. There are all kinds of varying spiritual development around us. Some are confused. Some are hurt. Some are sick. Some are trying to figure it out. But here's the bottom line. Psalms 37 says, "You and your steps have been ordered across their path." There are plenty of ways that you can impact these people. And when it comes to here, Acts chapter 17, verse number 16, here's the question I want you to ask yourself. Are you impacting people around you? Acts chapter 17, verse 16. "Now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit," now this is important right here, "was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idols." This translation here says provoked within him. When was the last time you were stirred in your spirit about the spiritual condition of somebody else? Now, I'm not talking about, "Oh, they're not saved. Get them, Holy Spirit." I'm talking about to the point where it moved you to do something. Because if you go and you study the life of Paul, Paul was stirred within him about what was going on in the city, and he went out and started preaching the gospel. When was the last time you were stirred in your spirit about something that you do here in the church? I mean, I know a lot of times serving looks like, "Oh man, that's just something we're supposed to do." No. Serving is about being stirred in the spirit about the spiritual condition of somebody else. Serving in this church, this is a big news flash. It's not about you. Events that we plan are not about you. People that you may know who need some kind of ministry, whether they're lost or whether they're sick or whether they're hurting, whatever kind of ministry they need, guess what? It is not about you. It is not an opportunity for you to say, "Look how awesome I am." It's about getting and doing something for the kingdom of God that'll add to the kingdom of God in some way. When we say you should serve, it is not because it's for you. Part of it is for you. You will develop spiritually even more. But the thing about it is we also want you to do something for God by ministering to people that walk in that door. Listen to me. All them guys sitting back there at the tech team and the girls running the camera and Ralph running the camera. Listen to me. That is not for them. In fact, if it was for them, none of them would do it. This is about the cameras and Pete sitting there. That's about for all you folks watching online. They're doing this for you. Because they'll be the first one to tell you it's painful sometimes to stand there and not move. And the camera's taller than you and your neck starts to hurt because you got to look up at it. (Laughs) But a lot of times people serve and then they get upset with serving because they think it's for them. And here's the great thing about it. Nobody ever got depressed or upset trying to please somebody else. Think about it. What's the root cause of anxiety and depression? You're worried about yourself. Now, that, don't get me wrong. I understand there's all kinds of things going. It causes it and furthers it. But nobody gets depressed thinking about somebody else. Now, I'm not talking about crushes and obsessions. Obviously, that's weird. I'm talking about nobody gets depressed when they're doing something for somebody else. Nobody gets depressed when they're serving somebody else. This is not about you. Listen, I don't plan messages and stand up in front of here because standing up, contrary to popular opinion, this does not do anything for my ego. This is not about me. This is not about you. When we reach out, this is not about. Listen, if nobody else ever comes from any of the events that we do, guess what? We're going to keep doing them till we get told not to by Jesus. Why? Because it's not about us, and really, it's not about putting butts in the seats. If it happens, it happens. But I'm doing it because the Lord told us to do it, and that is the reason. It is not about us. It is for them. It's about doing something for the kingdom that'll add to the kingdom in some way. Now, most people think that when you go to add to the kingdom that you have to be the harvester. I'm the one that got them saved, and we all want to be able to say that. And we all want to, when we talk to somebody, we want to be the one that they break to. We all want to be the one that gets them saved. But what happens if they tell you, no, I'm not ready for that? Does that mean that you wasted your time? Because you'd sure fool a lot of people by our actions. It's amazing to me how many people stop inviting people to church after the first try. Well, I asked them, and they said they don't really believe in going to church. So, just never going to ask them again. In this church, and I've seen it in other churches, I have seen, it's amazing to me. Well, I tried to talk to them, and they just didn't really talk back. So, and we don't talk to them again. It's amazing to me how many times that happens. Why? Well, because we're making it about us. I tried to talk to them and they didn't speak back to me the way I thought that they should. So therefore, I'm going to protect myself. Happy anniversary. They just didn't seem like they wanted to talk back, so I just left them alone. That is doing something for yourself. Our call is a body, as a body, is not to do it for ourselves. Come on, somebody. Our call is to do something for God. That's why we go out. That might mean I got to keep inviting somebody. That's told me no. Quiet. See, don't be quiet right there. Then I won't harp. I won't meddle. I'll keep inviting people that have told me no. I'll keep talking to people here in the church that just didn't really respond to me like I thought they should. They don't like me. I've heard that one a lot. They just don't like me. No, you're thinking selfishly. But I can just tell. I mean, I've been around people a lot. I mean, I know when somebody doesn't like me. Do you? Are you? That might mean we keep doing events that haven't caused people to come to this church. Why? Because it's not always about the harvesting that is important. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? We're the harvesters. I mean, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, excuse me, 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. This is Paul talking. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to their own, to his own labor. Now I want you to catch this, because planting is important. But so is watering. Because without either one of those, nobody's harvesting. No, ain't nobody getting saved if there's no planting and no watering. And I'll be honest with you, we're in a part of Orlando that there has been a steep tradition of worshiping the devil. Most people don't know it. But out here when this was all orange groves, Vincent Price, who developed most of I Drive, he had little seances and they worshiped the devil out here in these orange groves. They developed iDrive, and it wasn't like it is now. It was all these little spook houses and stuff like that, you know. It was that kind of stuff when it first started. Why? They're out here worshiping the devil. We're in a part of town that there has been a stronghold that people don't know a whole lot about the Holy Ghost. They don't know a lot about God. And if they do know about, what they do know about God is a very traditional religious version of him. And so sometimes you got to just keep doing what God tells you to do because you're moving against something in somebody else's life that's a stronghold. So I'm going to keep planting, and I'm going to keep watering, and eventually the harvest will come. Why? Because God's given the increase. And here's the thing. If nobody ever comes through that door from one of our events, until Jesus tells us to stop doing them, we'll keep doing them. Because why? At least we're planting, and at least we're watering. And if somebody else, come on, if somebody else gets the harvest from it, God's not going to leave us short. We've been here 6 years. We've never missed a rent payment, never not been able to pay our bills. We've never had to close the doors and say, I'm sorry, we can't do it because we can't afford to meet. The rent has got, you know, we weren't able to pay it. No, God has kept us in step from the very beginning. As a body, we're supposed to do something for God. Now, specifically, what's the call of God on your life? I don't know. I don't know what the something for God is that you're supposed to do. But as the pastor of this church, I can say as a member of this church, here are some of the things that we've been instructed by the Holy Spirit to do that you can be doing here. And if you're going to be a member, you should. You ought to serve in a spot. There are plenty of places to serve. Gonna look up. You ought to give in the offering. We have some people that's their big call. My dad's like that. My dad at his home church, his big call is to give. And he gives a lot. A whole lot. But that's what he feels like his calling is to be. But you know what? That's what he does. I remember growing up watching my dad buy the pastor a new car about every 5 or 6 years. Hint, hint, anybody want to? I'm totally kidding. All right. But I watched it happen. I watched my dad give. They were building a new building. I watched my dad. Now listen, the church I came out of, we had a little minor celebrity. Well, he was kind of major at the time. Billy Ray Cyrus grew up in our church. His grandfather was the founding pastor of our church. Now, everybody knows Miley. Everybody probably forgot Billy Ray. Well, I'm not surprised that you wouldn't, Annie. Achy, braggy heart, exactly. And I watched, and listen, he gave, when they were getting ready to build a new building, he gave $25,000 and bought a piece of a tract of land for them to build this thing on. And I watched my dad get inspired by that. Now, if you were here at the financial seminar that we did on a Saturday, my dad talked about it a little bit. Billy Ray Cyrus had given $25,000 to buy this tract of land, and it inspired my dad. He said, if Billy Ray can give money like that, I can. And I watched my dad become a solid, that's when he really accepted the call of God in his life. And he gave $45,000 towards that building fund that year. Now you go, wow, he must be wealthy. My dad listens to the Holy Ghost. And he knows that's what his purpose and his calling is to give. So he does. Here's some other stuff you can do here. If you feel you want to give, that's great. We have people in here that do that. But, you know, you should build relationships and connect with other people walking in there that are inside these walls. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There are some of that is great. We have a great, strong backbone of that in some places, and in other places we're lacking sorely in it. We have people that come and will come for a while, and they may be some of the people I was talking about that don't respond the way you think they should respond when you talk to them, and they leave because they don't feel connected here. That's like the number one thing that I have had people tell me when I finally get a hold of them, when they stop showing up for a few weeks. What's going on? Oh, we wound up at another church. We love your preaching and we love what you believe better, but we just connected with somebody else better. Build relationships and connect with members here in these walls. You can do that. Here's something else you can do. You can evangelize out there. You can invite some of those people to church. Listen to me. We get those little you're invited cards printed all the time. And I know of a handful, not even a handful of people that use them. We take them and we put them in the check when we pay at restaurants. We don't have, you don't have to make a big scene out of it. Hello, how are you? Do you know Jesus? Here, I'd like to invite you to my church. I know we've never met before, and you may think I'm a psycho, but not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that you work with, go to school with. Come on, your kids go to school with. People, parents, people that you sit in the pickup line with. You can invite people to church. Here's something else. You can go on missions trips when we go. Oh, man, I don't know about that. Over there that do something for God, that is me preaching in Colombia. And everybody that went on that trip can tell you what an impact it had on them. Why? It wasn't about them. It was about the people that we went and ministered to that day. And poor like you've never seen. The place that we were at right there makes Tangelo Park look like Windermere. Am I joking? I mean, it wasn't about us. It was about the people we were ministering to. Here's something else you can do. You can be part of the events that minister to the community. Here in just a few weeks, we're going to have a Harvest Carnival on a Sunday night. You can take some of them flyers that we have out there and hand them out to people that you know. I saw Ralph put one up at work in the break room. Hint, hint, break room at your job. When we go and say, hey, we're going to go and hand these out, you go with us to hand them out. That's easy. You can have a trunk full of candy that night. You can host a game. You could bring in tons of candy. You can be somebody that mans the inflatable games and make sure those kids aren't in there killing each other. You can get on the grill and cook hot dogs. Those are things that you can be doing. What is that? We're going out. Now, we were hoping to have the boxes to hand out today, but not something else you can be part of is Operation Christmas Child. We're starting it this week. We don't have the boxes, though. But Operation Christmas Child is where We have the little shoe boxes, and you put just little gifts in there, and $7, and we send it over to what's that called though? That organization, Samaritan's Purse, which is Franklin Graham, and we send it overseas to some needy child that gets blessed by it. You can do that. What is that? We're going out. Come on, somebody. You could do more than one box. One more thing you can do as we get close to the end of the year here. We have the Spirit of Christmas Food Drive coming up. You can get involved and bring food. I already got a phone call from the Dr. Phillips Rotary Club. They are begging to do that again. So they are. So therefore, you can bring food. You can help us find the families that are in need. This is not hard stuff. It's not like we're saying, we own you. You have to be here all the time. No, no. These are all little things anybody can do. If you know somebody in need, you can turn that in. Guess what you just did? You went out. The day that we hand out the baskets, you could show up and hand those out with us. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's one of the most rewarding experiences I've ever had as a pastor. When people walk in and you hand it to them, and it's not just food. We give them a $100 gift card from Walmart. Because it's not just about the quality of the food. We want to go and blow their mind because that's how good God is. Come on, somebody. And when you hand them a $100 gift card and they go, what? And then they cry and they're moved and they're blown away because God did something like that in their lives. And we tell them it's Jesus. And we pray for them. That's one of the most rewarding experiences I've ever had. It's an amazing thing. And guess what? You can do that. You can be the one that gives the money for the gift cards. Well, I don't know. I could only do one. You just went out. Well, I don't know if I could do 100 at once. I could do, $25 for a few weeks. Guess you just went out. Where do we go from here? We go up. We go forward, and we go out. Amen. And if we can't do that, then let's just close the doors and shut this thing down. I mean, if we can't make our relationship with God most important, then let's just shut it down. Come on, if we can't go forward and receive from God, let's just forget it. And if we can't go out and be moved and stirred in our spirits for the welfare of somebody else, let's just close it down right now. There's just no reason to go on. But I don't believe that. Come on. I don't believe God called us here to waste 6 years of our time just to close the doors. I don't believe God called us here to do some pretty amazing things that we sit back and go, how in the world did that happen? It's because God did it. I don't believe God goes and does things like that just so you can say, well, that's it. That's been fun. Thanks, everybody. Good night. Let's go. We've spent 6 years gelling, and we've spent 6 years, kind of trying to get to know one another. Listen, if you don't know me by now, those of you who've been here for a while, then you just don't know very much about people. I am the way I am. The way you see me, this is how I am. We're going forward, we're going up, and we're going out. And if you want to come with me, you need to get on board and come on. Don't sit back and just wait any longer. Get the lead out. Which way do we go now? Come on, last time. We go up, we go forward, we go out. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, thank you. Thank you.